Reading is from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain to be alone with them. And before their eyes, Jesus was transfigured, his face becoming as dazzling as the sun and his clothes as radiant as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, how good that we are here. With your permission, I will erect three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Out of the cloud came a voice which said, "This is my own, my beloved, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." When they heard this, the disciples fell forward on the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus came toward them and touched them, saying, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they looked up, they did not see anyone but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountainside, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about this until the chosen one has risen from the dead."
Amen. Thank you, Patricia. Jesus selected three friends with him to go up a trek on a mountain that promised to provide beautiful panoramic views. If you were to plan a getaway weekend, who would you invite to go with you? For real, think about it for a second. Who would you invite to go on this weekend getaway with you? Once you arrived and settled in, can you envision the experience? There's no cell reception at the top of the mountain, no texting or Facebook check-ins or streaming videos or news updates. You would be totally disconnected from the rest of the world, only aware of your inner feelings, the interactions with your companions, and the scenery that the mountaintop provided. During Jesus' getaway, the scripture tells us that he was transfigured. He started to glow. His form and appearance became even more beautiful, and he seemed to be exuding a more transcendent aura. The spirits of the important ancestors appeared to him. You know, the ones you talk to and call upon late at night. The ones who came before you but have now passed on to glory. The grandparents, the great-grandparents, the good friends and loved ones you used to call on for advice. The Moseses and Elijahs. During your mountaintop trek, you gain perspective. You take a deep breath. You never want to leave. You talk about living up there permanently. You take selfies so you can have proof of the occasion, or at least I would. You actually hear God's voice on the mountain. The divine message sometimes looks like a bright cloud in the dazzling sky, or a voice you hear inside your being. Those feelings that tell you to pay attention to what is happening right before you. That experience of your throat constricting and your eyes beginning to tear up. The way your body reacts when you're overcome with truth or beauty. You might be afraid that you won't remember how otherworldly you felt on this trip when it's over. If you happen to capture a vision of what the future is supposed to look like, you might fear that you'll lose all the details, all the particulars. Jesus says the same thing he says again and again, the same thing the angels and ancestors and wise ones repeat over and over throughout their lives. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The retreat ends. You carefully pack your belongings as you try to memorize every detail of the weekend. You breathe in deeply the clear mountain air, hoping to take some of it with you on your hike back down the mountain. Jesus tells you to keep this mountaintop memory close to your heart, to hide it in your inner heart shrine. There will come a day when you will need to draw on the images and insights from this trek. But for now, just hold it close. Hold close all of those mountaintop experiences in your life. Today is the last Sunday of the church season after Epiphany. The weeks in between celebrating Jesus' birth and Lent, the weeks leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. This Sunday is known as Transfiguration Sunday. Too often, I think we focus only on Jesus' transfiguration and forget that we ourselves and the world around us are called to undergo a change of form into a more beautifully spiritual state. We get bogged down by the daily details of our lives and the news. How could we not? This week alone was more than overwhelming on a national scale. The evacuation deadline arrived at Standing Rock. Water protectors who had been at the camp for months were forced to leave, while 46 who remained behind were arrested. Plans to further desecrate the land by continuing the oil pipeline are in place. In Oklahoma this week, a bill passed the House committee, which would penalize individuals with $100,000 and 10 years in prison for taking actions such as the water protectors did. Actions of standing up against so-called critical infrastructures like the pipeline. This week, the Department of Education of our country chose to no longer enforce Title IX, which protected transgender students equally in all school facilities, including restrooms. Now it's left to individuals to do this work on our own. This week, an off-duty police officer in Anaheim, California, physically took hold of a 13-year-old teenage boy who was walking across his lawn and fired his gun into the midst of a crowd of teenagers outside his home as he tried to detain the Chicano boy. Hundreds took to the streets of Anaheim to protest the confrontation. More and more families are suffering under the stress and reality of deportations of undocumented persons in our country. The family of the construction crew that Dana and I hired to work on our new home has been affected. What decisions do you make when a member of your own family could be ripped from the fabric of your daily life at any moment? Growing up, I definitely believed in evil. I imagined it took the form of monsters under my bed or nightmares that haunted my sleep. In my early 20s, I stopped believing in evil for a while. I didn't believe in God, so I didn't believe in the opposite of God either. Now I'm back to recognizing that there is a malicious force in the world, even when I'm not sure where it comes from or how exactly it operates. Often I see evil characterized as human beings who simply oppose those things that others think are good. Last Sunday, the church marquee outside of Fellowship UCC in Tulsa, Oklahoma, our sister church, read, "Love your enemies. After all, you made them." Is that true? When we label someone as our enemy and oppose them in every way possible, do we allow space for the possibility of their transfiguration? Do we allow space for our own growth? Changes that can occur from our own mountaintop experiences, or even those low treks through the shadows of the valley. The contemporary reading for today from Walter Wink's book, The Powers That Be, was powerful. If you would have told me at the beginning of that story that a real-life neo-Nazi, KKK, Grand Dragon, firebombing white supremacist had a chance at transfiguration, I would have bet against you. In hindsight, I can see that the path away from evil, his path, was made possible by the Jewish family which held open the door for him to walk into another reality. They didn't allow their fear of this man to keep them from engaging him. They didn't condemn him and organize an all-out counter-assault on him either. They kept calling him, kept speaking the truth to him in love. They took the high road when he took the low one. They treated him as they would want to be treated, even in the midst of death threats. They held an alternative future up for him to see and accompanied him as he made his own hard decision to move towards that reality. In the end, they were privileged enough to witness his transfiguration, a complete change in his form and appearance into a more beautiful and spiritual state. And as you can imagine, one cannot witness someone else's transfiguration without being affected yourself. I read a quote this week that I have agreed with for a long time now. It said, "Following the way of Jesus is more important than admiring him." Admiring Jesus is to see his transfigured form and simply hang his picture up on your wall. Following Jesus means finding out how you can be transfigured too and helping others to take that path as well. Toward the end of Walter Wink's book, he describes the power of intercessory prayer. He says, "Intercessory prayer is spiritual defiance of what is in the way of what God has promised. Intercession visualizes an alternative future to the one apparently fated by the momentum of current forces. Prayer infuses the air of a time yet to be into the suffocating atmosphere of the present. History belongs to the intercessors who believe the future into being. History belongs to the intercessors who believe the future into being." This is not simply a religious statement. It's also true of communists and capitalists and anarchists. The future belongs to whoever can envision a new and desirable possibility, which faith then fixes upon as inevitable. Wink continues, "This is the politics of hope. Hope envisions its future and then acts as if that future is now irresistible, thus helping to create the reality for which it longs. The future is not closed. Even a small number of people firmly committed to the new inevitability on which they have fixed their imaginations can decisively affect the shape the future takes." So what future is irresistible to you? Personally, relationally, nationally, and globally. Are you willing to pray it into being? To infuse the air with the politics of hope? To make space for mountaintop revelations? To converse with the ancestors, to be not afraid, to hold the door open for those you've labeled as your enemy, to hold it open wide enough to still make room for an alternative ending and transfiguration of those who oppose the protection of water, for those who oppose the protection of transgender students, of Chicano teenagers, of Muslim, Jewish, and undocumented relatives, of our own health and fulfillment and future. So instead of admiring Jesus' transfiguration, I urge us to follow him, to take three friends with us on our trek, or four, or 30, or 90, to become spiritually defiant and to use intercessory prayer to envision the reality of what God has promised. May it be so. Amen. Let us
yeah. Send your spirit to set us free. Send your spirit to set us free. Fill our hearts and minds, loose the chains that bind. Send your spirit to set us free.
Let us take a deep breath as we ground ourselves in this time and place. Know and feel God's love for you. God's plans for transfiguration. Let us infuse the air with our prayers. Prayers for Omar, for Leland, for Gianna, for Carson, for Tara Henry and her mother. Prayers that Felicia gets relief from pain because of a lupus flare. Comfort for the Compton family. For Donna's family, for water protectors, for Aura, for country, for our nation. For Ron, who had a heart attack this week. For Mike. For Laura Dryden's mother. Strength for Donna Compton and her family. Courage for all those facing wrongful deportation. Prayers for the healing of Chloe, for Debbie's heart, for Marty's health. Prayers for our church, for our guests today, for our children, for our pastor, for our Muslim friends, our wonderful families. Prayers for our church anniversary coming up near Easter time. For my sister Tammy, for Charles, who says to tell everyone he loves you and wishes he could be here. Please continue to hold us in your prayers and healing light. For Charles, for Ron, for Cynthia, for Barbara York, for Mike and Ron, for Linda Herndon on her travels, for Charles and Donna, for our education, for my brother in the hospital with pneumonia who cannot travel to see him. Prayers for both of us. Continued healing prayers for Brian and Dawana. For our loved ones with addiction issues, may they have peace. For Keith. Prayers for healing for Don and his family. Prayers of comfort for Charles and Donna. Prayers for Country and her continued healing after surgery. Prayers for Charles, for Donna, for their family, that they may know rest and peace. For Ron and Mike, for healing and patience. For all who are struggling with illness, with conflict, with turmoil, with sorrow, with grief, with depression, that we may step bravely and confidently into the light of day and the dark of night, knowing that God loves us and the hand of God is always within reach for those who surround us in our church, with our church family, and those who are our neighbors. Prayers that God's grace may be with us in love and bring peace to all God's people, that we may share our love to all whom we meet. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for the help of those in need, for guiding us in our life. Prayers for financial needs. Prayers to be lifted out of depression. Prayers for an understanding spirit and heart. Prayers that I may pass my DEQ tests this Friday. For Angela, for family, as they continue to deal with the suicide of her husband, Steve. Prayers of thanks and continued recovery for Kelly's mother.
Send your spirit to set us free. Send your spirit to set us free. Fill our hearts and minds, loose the chains that bind. Send your spirit to set us free.
Gracious God, we come to you and infuse the air that you help us to breathe with the politics of hope. Gracious God, we thank you for this weekend time when we get to come together with friends to have a little getaway during our week, to envision and listen to your voice, envision the future that you have promised to us. Help us to remember to set our eyes and our hopes and our hearts and our actions upon the world that you would like to bring into being. We say prayers for the ability to hold open the doors. We say prayers for those whom we see as our enemies, that you would help us to send love, to not give up. Gracious God, we say prayers for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Invite those serving communion to please come forward. In just a few moments, you will be invited to come forward and participate in this meal. Here at Church of the Open Arms, you don't need to be a member of this church or any church to partake in this holy ritual. This is God's meal for your refreshment, and you are welcome to partake. You'll be invited to come forward and take a piece of bread and dip it into the grape juice. If you'd like to be in prayer around this communion table, or if you'd like to light a candle in prayer afterwards, you're welcome to do so. We remember on that night when Jesus was with his friends in the upper room, how he took their meal, their bread, and broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." After supper, he took the cup, giving thanks. He blessed it, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for forgiveness, for mercy, for grace, for love, for open doors, for transfiguration. Whenever you drink of this, remember me." Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask your blessing upon this meal. We join our voices together in the prayer which Jesus first taught when he said, "Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The table is set. Come when you are ready. Well, I would invite you to turn and change your bulletin to the back so that we can see how we continue the community from this moment forward. Today is actually something called Seminary Sunday, and I am so grateful for seminaries, for the education of clergy, and for creating spaces where we can figure out how to transfigure the rest of the world. So we do have these seminary pamphlets out in the lobby if you'd like to take one when you leave. For all those who have ever had the opportunity to experience any type of seminary education, if you just want to raise your hand, we have a lot of seminary in the room. If you have any questions about seminary, you know that you can come ask any of us about that, and we have something to tell you about. Also, at our church, we have a designation of funds for those who are interested in attending events at Phillips Theological Seminary in Tulsa. So that is a wonderful gift that has been made to both churches. So let me know if you have any questions about that. This Wednesday starts Ash Wednesday starts Lent. So we are having a combined worship service with Cathedral of Hope at 7 p.m. here in our sanctuary. So we hope to see you all here. It's one of my favorite services of the year, the imposition of the ashes. So I hope that you will come this Wednesday. I already have the palms. Last year, it was my first day on the job of burning the palms, and I didn't know if we had any palms, and I was really freaking out. So we have them this year, so don't worry about that. This Thursday, as always, we have our food truck delivery and could use volunteers to unpack that. On Friday is food pantry. We can use your volunteer help from 2 to 6. On Sunday, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so it's our potluck Sunday. I think our theme is, what is the theme? Oh, Baby Mac is going to have a birthday right during our potluck, so you can come for that.
Mac and cheese.
It could be mac and cheese Sunday. I think it was supposed to be green for March, so bring something green that tastes good. At the same time,
wait a minute.
We're going to have a parent meeting for all parents of children's birth through 18 for information about our church and policies and updates about things that are going on. So we're going to grab a couple tables for parents, and we hope that you will stay and be there for that meeting. We have an announcement from Jim and an announcement from Pam. Go ahead, Jim.
A number of years ago, I attended a church, and my primary memory of attending the church was looking at the backs of people's heads. In other words, you know, it was more traditional seating. And I have a tendency to isolate, and so what I did was to just come in and sit and stare at the back of people's heads. And that was pretty much my experience of that church. That has not been the case here at Open Arms. I have found a number of ways to connect with people. And There's a proposal that we might form teams or small groups. It's also been referred to as family groups or something like that. Imagine for a minute, if you will, if we had 6 or 8 teams of 10 or 12 people each. And these teams would meet sometimes in people's homes. They might meet here at the church. They might do any number of activities. They might go see a movie and talk about it afterwards. They might study a book. They might take on a project. They might care for one another. So like if you had the flu, it might be good to get a phone call from someone on your team. Or if you were going to be out of town for a few weeks, it might be good to check in with someone else on your team. So anyway, this is the idea. And Kana and I are going to be doing some team leader training sometime over the next couple of weeks, probably. And so we're looking for people who are willing to kind of step up and be team leaders. And that means kind of get this whole initiative off the ground and figuring out what this might actually look like. So there's more to come, and we'll have more details next week. But think about that.
Thank you, Jim. Jim's our president this year. Pam.
So I am going to go to the library this Thursday, the one in DCO. If you want to join me,
Thank you, Pam. Pam's our vice president this year. All right, the only last announcements I have is our 20th anniversary is coming up, April 22nd. Make sure it's on your calendar. And we have decided to bring back the tradition of going on a fall retreat as a church. That's going to happen September 15th and 16th. It's, I think, $61 for, it's one overnight with three meals. If you would like to go ahead and start paying your way now, if you won't be able to pay the whole thing when the time comes, you're welcome to do that. See me for more details or Kenny. And I think that's all of our announcements. All right, let us rise and join in our prayer of self-dedication. This is our church. We make it what it is. Others will feel welcomed if I am welcoming. It will do a great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes. If I am a generous giver of my time, talents, and treasure, it will be a sanctuary for social justice and peace. If I advocate for marginalized communities and practice peace in every setting of my life, therefore we shall follow in the reconciling ministry of Jesus as an inclusive justice seeking community, and I shall dedicate myself to being all the things I want my church to be. Amen. Amen.